What is it about true love that touches every heart? Why does this simple phrase, "I love you," evoke such universal joy? Men give various reasons, but the real reason is that every person who comes to earth is a spirit, son, or daughter of God. Since all love emanates from God, we are born with the capacity and the desire to love and to be loved. One of the strongest connections we have with our premortal life is how much our Father and Jesus loved us and how much we loved them. Even though a veil was drawn over our memory, whenever we sense true love, it awakens a longing that cannot be denied. Responding to true love is part of our very being. We innately desire to reconnect here with the love we felt there. Only as we feel God's love and fill our hearts with His love can we be truly happy. God's love fills the immensity of space. Therefore, there is no shortage of love in the universe. Only in our willingness to do what is needed to feel it. To do this, Jesus explained, we must, quote, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. The more we obey God, the more we desire to help others. The more we help others, the more we love God, and on and on. Conversely, the more we disobey God, and the more selfish we are, the less love we feel. Trying to find lasting love without obeying God is like trying to quench thirst by drinking from an empty cup. You can go through the motions, but the thirst remains. Similarly, trying to find love without helping and sacrificing for others is like trying to live without eating. It is against the laws of nature and cannot succeed. We cannot fake love. It must become part of us. The Prophet Mormon explained, quote, charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with him. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with his love. God is anxious to help us feel his love wherever we are. Let me give an example. As a young missionary, I was assigned to a small island of about 700 inhabitants in a remote area of the South Pacific. To me, the heat was oppressive. The mosquitoes were terrible. The mud was everywhere. The language was impossible, and the food was, well, different. After a few months, our island was struck by a powerful hurricane. The devastation was massive. Crops were ruined, lives were lost, housing was blown away, and the telegraph station, our only link to the outside world, was destroyed. A small government boat normally came every month or two, so we rationed our food to last 4 or 5 weeks, hoping the boat would come. But no boat came. Every day we became weaker. There were acts of great kindness, but as the 6th and 7th weeks passed with very little food, our strength slipped noticeably. My native companion, Fecky, helped me in every way he could. But as the 8th week commenced, I had no energy. I just sat under the shade of a tree and prayed and read scriptures and spent hours and hours pondering the things of eternity. The 9th week began with little outward change. However, there was a great inward change. I felt the Lord's love deeper than ever before and learned firsthand that His love is the, quote, most desirable above all things, yea, and the most joyous to the soul. I was pretty much skin and bones by now. I remember watching with deep reverence my heart beating, my lungs breathing, and thinking, What a marvelous body God has created to house our equally marvelous spirit. The thought of a permanent union of these two elements made possible through the Savior's love, atoning sacrifice, and resurrection was so inspiring and satisfying that any physical discomfort faded into oblivion. When we understand who God is, who we are, how He loves us, and what His plan is for us, fear evaporates. When we get the tiniest glimpse of these truths, our concern over worldly things vanishes. To think we actually fall for Satan's lies that power, fame, or wealth are important is truly laughable, or would be were it not so sad. I learned that just as rockets must overcome the pull of gravity to roar into space, so we must overcome the pull of the world to soar into the eternal realms of understanding and love. I realized my mortal life might end there, but there was no panic. I knew life would continue, and whether here or there didn't really matter. What did matter was how much love I had in my heart, and I knew I needed more. I knew that our joy, now and forever, is inextricably tied to our capacity to love. As these thoughts filled and lifted my soul, I gradually became aware of some excited voices. My companion Feki's eyes were dancing as he said, "Klipoki, a boat has arrived, and it is full of food. We are saved. Aren't you excited?" I wasn't sure, but since the boat had come, that must be God's answer, so yes, I was happy. Feki gave me some food and said, "Here, eat." I hesitated. I looked at the food, I looked at Feki, I looked into the sky and closed my eyes. I felt something very deep. I was grateful my life here would go on as before. Still, there was a wistful feeling, a subtle sense of postponement, as when darkness closes the brilliant coverlids of a perfect sunset, and you realize you must wait for another evening to again enjoy such beauty. I wasn't sure I wanted to open my eyes, but when I did, I realized that God's love had changed everything. The heat, the mud, the mosquitoes, the people, the language, the food were no longer challenges. Those who had tried to harm me were no longer my enemies. Everyone was my brother or sister. Being filled with God's love is the most joyous of all things and is worth every cost. I thank God for this choice time and for the many reminders of His love. The sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the birth of a child, the smile of a friend. I thanked Him for scriptures, for the privilege of prayer, and for that most marvelous reminder of His love, the sacrament. I learned that as we sing the sacrament hymns with real intent, phrases like, "How great the wisdom and the love," or "Dearly, dearly has He loved, and we must love Him too," will swell our hearts with love and gratitude. As we sincerely listen to the sacrament prayers, phrases such as, "Always remember Him," "Keep His commandments," "Have His Spirit to be with them," will fill our hearts with an overwhelming desire to be better. Then when we partake of the bread and the water with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, I know we can feel and even hear those most wondrous words, "I love you. I love you." I thought I would never forget these feelings, but the pull of the world is strong and we tend to slip. God continues to love us, however. Several months after regaining my strength, we were caught in another violent storm, only this time at sea. The waves became so big they flipped our small boat over, throwing the three of us into the raging, churning ocean. When I found myself in the middle of a tumultuous sea, I was surprised, scared, and a little upset. "Why has this happened?" I thought. "I'm a missionary. Where's my protection? Missionaries aren't supposed to swim." But swim I must if I wish to stay alive. Every time I complained, I found myself underwater, so it didn't take long to quit complaining. Things are how they are, and complaining doesn't help. I needed every ounce of energy to keep my head above water and make it to shore. Having earned my Eagle Scout Award, I was a pretty confident swimmer. But over time, the wind and the waves began to sap my strength. I never quit trying, but there came a time when my muscles simply would move no more. I had a prayer in my heart, but still I began to sink. As I was going down for what could have been the last time, the Lord infused into my mind and heart a deep feeling of love for a very special person. It was as though I could see and hear her. Even though she was 8,000 miles away, the power of that love came rushing across those miles and penetrating time and space, reached down and pulled me up, lifted me from the depths of darkness, despair, and death, and brought me up to light and life and hope. With a sudden burst of energy, I made it to shore, where I found my shipmates. Never underestimate the power of true love, for it knows no barriers. When filled with God's love, we can do and see and understand things that we could not otherwise do or see or understand. Filled with His love, we can endure pain, quell fear, forgive freely, avoid contention, renew strength, and bless and help others in ways surprising even to us. Jesus Christ was filled with unfathomable love as He endured incomprehensible pain, cruelty, and injustice for us. Through His love for us, He rose above otherwise insurmountable barriers. His love knows no barriers. He invites us to follow Him and partake of His unlimited love, so we too may rise above the pain and cruelty and injustice of this world and help and forgive and bless. I know He lives. I know He loves us. I know we can feel His love here and now. I know His voice is one of perfect mildness, which penetrates to our very center. I know He smiles and is filled with compassion and love. I know He is full of gentleness, kindness, mercy, and desire to help. I love Him with all my heart. I testify that when we are pure and ready, His pure love instantly moves across time and space, reaches down, and pulls us up from the depths of any tumultuous sea of darkness, sin, sorrow, death, or despair we may find ourselves in, and brings us into the light and life and love of eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.